whole plane erupted into cheers when the crew welcomed them back to the United States.
Nations from around the world start the evacuation of their citizens from Wuhan, China. It's Thursday, January 30th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also coming your way, China says it will be more transparent about information on the virus outbreak there. It's question day at the impeachment trial of the U.S. president. We'll take you to the U.S. Capitol. And we have the latest for you on the crash of a U.S. military plane in Afghanistan. It's all coming your way on today's VOA Asia. The death toll from a new coronavirus in China passed 130 Wednesday, with nearly 1,500 new cases. It's now infected more people in China than a deadly outbreak of SARS in 2003 that went on to kill nearly 800 people worldwide. Michelle Hennessy reports.
The number of cases of a new coronavirus rose sharply on Wednesday. In mainland China, it's now already infected more people there than the SARS epidemic did in 2003. That outbreak went on to kill nearly 800 people worldwide. The new, previously unknown virus is sparking international alarm. It's spreading fast, with more than a dozen countries affected. Scientists around the world are trying to get ahead of the virus, and Australia on Wednesday announced a breakthrough. A team of scientists said they've developed a lab-grown version of the virus which could help combat its global spread. Director of the lab, Mike Catton.
We've moved immediately to share this with our international colleagues to provide a toolkit that complements the modern molecular techniques that are so useful in diagnosis and development of vaccines and medicines.
Governments and businesses are working to contain the fallout. In the US, the White House is holding daily meetings on the outbreak, and some countries, like Japan, have sent chartered aircraft to Wuhan to evacuate their citizens. Hong Kong, which has been gripped by anti-China unrest for months, is planning to suspend rail and ferry links with the mainland. Airlines, including United, have announced they're cancelling some flights to China as demand for travel there falls sharply. Other big companies like Starbucks are warning of a financial hit. It's currently shut around half of its stores in China. The country is a big market for Starbucks, accounting for 10% of its global revenue. McDonald's and retailers like H&M have also closed some stores. Other places, though, are seeing a surge in business. Face masks have been flying off the shelves in dozens of cities. A Beijing drugstore is being fined over $400,000 for hiking up the price of the masks amid the outbreak. As the death toll continues to rise, there's still important unknowns, like just how lethal it is and whether it's infectious before symptoms even appear.
Reuters correspondent Michelle Hennessy. Now, as Michelle mentioned, the first evacuations of foreign nationals from China took place Wednesday, as the U.S. reportedly considers banning all airline flights between the two countries. White House officials reportedly told U.S. airline executives at a meeting Tuesday that the administration has not decided yet to impose a ban, but is continuing to assess the situation. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said in response to a reporter's question Wednesday about whether a broad travel ban to China is being considered, he said the State Department constantly evaluates the risk to travelers. He said, "We will evaluate it on a continuous basis, literally hour by hour." As the death toll from the coronavirus outbreak soared to 132 and the number of confirmed cases increased to just under 6,000, surpassing the SARS outbreak, the pace of evacuations from mainland China increased. A charter jet flew 206 Japanese nationals from Wuhan, the epicenter of the virus, to Tokyo's Haneda Airport Wednesday. Four passengers were taken to a hospital after complaining of feeling ill. Medical personnel were on board the flight to screen the passengers before takeoff and again when the plane landed. Another charter jet evacuated about 200 Americans out of Wuhan on a flight to the United States.
First stop, Anchorage, Alaska.
The whole plane erupted into cheers when the crew welcomed them back to the United States.
That's Dr. Ann Zink, Alaska's chief medical officer.
All passengers had already been screened twice before they left China. They were monitored throughout the flight, And in Anchorage, the passengers were screened twice more.
Everyone passed the health screening in Anchorage, and then it was on to Southern California for more screening and a temporary stopover. The state health commissioner, Adam Crum, said this is the best possible outcome, and he wished the passengers the best of luck as they complete their journeys home. I'm Rita Foley.
Australia, New Zealand, France, Russia, and other nations also have announced plans to evacuate their citizens out of Wuhan this week. British Airways announced Wednesday it was suspending all direct flights to and from the mainland. Hong Kong is suspending all high-speed rail and ferry services from the mainland beginning Friday, while the territory and Malaysia have banned entry to visitors from Wuhan. Mongolia has closed its vast border with its neighbor. United Airlines, a major American airline, announced Tuesday it's suspending flights to Beijing, Hong Kong, and Shanghai from February 1st through the 8th. United Airlines pilot, who will be on the last flight out of Beijing, told VOA that he and other company personnel who will accompany him are taking precautions. This pilot said his food consumption in China will be limited to goods he's packed in a suitcase and that he and his colleagues would remain in their hotel rooms during their stay. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is warning against non-essential travel to China. We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at VOAnews.com. Pakistan has harshly criticized rival India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi a day after he boasted that his military could inflict a defeat on the neighboring country within 10 days. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has warned that the United States will only pass information across what he termed trusted networks and criticized close ally Britain over its decision to allow the Chinese firm Huawei to build parts of that country's 5G mobile network. Artists and residents of Manila, Philippines, painted a mural honoring deceased American basketball legend Kobe Bryant and his daughter on a basketball court there. Read and watch more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter, plus the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The coronavirus that started in Wuhan, China last month has now spread to more than 18 countries as governments take steps aimed at halting its spread. China has a mixed track record on transparency during public crises, partly because its authoritarian government keeps a tight rein on communication networks in the country. Meeting with WHO director on Tuesday, China's President Xi Jinping stressed that his country is ready to work with the organization as well as the international community. This is Washington calls on Beijing to allow more public health experts into China to help with stopping the spread of the illness. More from VOA's Mariama Diallo.
The first cases of this new kind of coronavirus were publicly reported in late December in China. Since then, it has taken weeks for officials to get data on how fast it spreads and who is most vulnerable. Tom Frieden, former director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, says they are still figuring out the basics.
So far, it's clear that in terms of infectiousness, it can go from person to person, but we don't know whether that requires a lot of contact or a little contact, and that makes a big difference. In terms of how deadly it is, we know that it's commonly causing pneumonia and that it can cause severe disease or death, but we don't have a sense of whether there are lots of people who have the infection without any symptoms. So there's a lot we don't know.
17 years ago, China struggled to contain the virus that causes SARS and was heavily criticized for withholding critical information. Now many, including the World Health Organization, say China has improved. They cite China's rapid sharing of the virus's genome sequence, allowing for quick testing.
There are some areas which have shown dramatic improvement in professionalism and transparency, and there have been other areas that have been that have been delinquent, that have been very costly. On the latter, when the cases first appeared in Wuhan, in Hubei province, in December, there was a lag of a couple of weeks of reporting.
But the continuing lack of independent news media coverage in the authoritarian country means that even now, there remain questions about how severe the situation is in China.
You probably have noticed that there were like 15 healthcare workers being infected in Wuhan. Well, that is very important because it is an indication, right, of how serious, how dangerous the virus is, because the healthcare workers usually are not that easily right, be infected. They only reported that after January 20th.
Even inside the country, Chinese officials have been publicly criticized for a sluggish response.
We hope people can understand that the information disclosure has not been timely. When it comes to infectious diseases, we have the Infectious Disease Prevention and Treatment Law, which requires information to be disclosed in accordance with the law. As a local government, we need to get authorization before disclosure.
On Tuesday, the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary publicly pressed Beijing to open up and allow more public health experts into the country to assist.
But getting WHO, CDC experts on the ground to be able to assist the Chinese experts. In addition, as Dr. Fauci mentioned, the more actual isolates that we can get, actual live isolates we can get, the more robust we can ensure any therapeutics or vaccines would be more targeted on top of the genetic sequences that has been shared.
The CDC recommends that all travelers avoid all non-essential travel to all of China in response to the outbreak. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
Chinese authorities have announced a temporary ban on selling wildlife in response to the virus that has spread from a game market in Wuhan. This is not the first time these markets have bred a new disease, and experts say it's likely not the last time. VOA Steve Barragona has more on that.
Wild animals are spared from dinner tables for now, as Chinese authorities crack down on game markets. Officials are temporarily closing markets that sell wildlife for food. The same thing happened in 2002, after civet cats at a live animal market in southern China infected people with SARS. That outbreak ultimately killed 800 people.
So it's very disconcerting that we can't seem to learn this lesson about where this risk is coming from.
Veterinarian William Karish is vice president of EcoHealth Alliance. He says live animal markets pack lots of stressed-out animals together in a small space. It's a perfect environment for spreading disease.
Now, most animals, of course, are not infected and are not shedding viruses, but it only takes one or two. And as they come to a market where it's crowded, there's other live animals there, they can start spreading it around. It's like kids going to kindergarten. One of them shows up sick, and next thing you know, everybody else is taking it home to their parents.
Harris says game markets especially can breed new diseases because they bring together animals and their germs that would normally never mix. It's a golden opportunity for a germ to find a new species to infect. Thousands of animals pass through these markets every day, and there are thousands of these markets around the world with millions of shoppers. With numbers like that, Karish says,
the chances of one virus making it through, winning the lottery, and getting into people is pretty high.
People don't always shop at live markets by choice, Karish says. When there's no refrigeration, it's the best way to know your meat is fresh.
So it's almost safer to see an animal that's live. It's alive, it's healthy, you know. No one found it dead on the road, and now it's trying to sell it to you as good meat. So there's rational reasons why that exists. But that world is also changing.
Around the world, supermarkets are replacing live markets. Their offerings may be less exotic, but Karish adds, they're safer for everyone. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, Rohingya refugees reacted with surprise and joy Wednesday to the news that Bangladesh would provide formal education to their children 2.5 years after they were forced to flee Myanmar. Human rights groups have long campaigned for nearly 500,000 effectively stateless Rohingya children in the Bangladesh camps to be allowed access to quality education. The 100 U.S. senators acting as jurors at President Donald Trump's impeachment trial got a chance Wednesday to ask questions of the Democratic lawmakers prosecuting the case and the Trump lawyers defending him. Let's get the latest as it's still going on from VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson at the Capitol. Catherine, how has this part of the impeachment trial been going so far?
Well, it's actually been a little bit livelier today, I would say, after several days of senators only be able to sit and listen to each side as they present their arguments. Now they are finally able to ask questions, even if it is through the form of a card handed up to Chief Justice Roberts. There's just a lot more give and take, and you see each side getting up quickly to make their point. There have been some interesting approaches to questions. So a little bit more of a lively day up here on Capitol Hill, and certainly a lot of discussion about bringing in witnesses.
Well, one of those witnesses is John Bolton, and where does that stand right now? I would imagine many of the questions were about him.
They certainly have been. And, you know, right now, Chuck Schumer told reporters a few hours ago that he thinks that it does not look good for getting enough votes to call those witnesses and bring in the new evidence. It looks like Mitch McConnell may have pulled together what he needs to block that from happening. If that's the case, then we could have a vote as early as Friday that would vote down that idea of witnesses, and then likely very quickly afterwards would have an actual vote on impeachment. If that's the case, we could be wrapped up here by the end of the week.
The reports last night over many major newspapers and broadcast outlets was that Mitch McConnell was saying in a closed meeting that he did not have the votes. What happened?
Well, that's correct, but a lot of Republican senators this morning have been saying that there has been this movement in the past few hours that calling witnesses would take too long, that there would be too much involved, and that really Republican senators after this question period have the sense of what they need to know to make their decision. So I think it's really interesting to watch how this question portion of the trial plays out. And if the senators, particularly the Republican ones, feel that their questions and concerns are being addressed and answered.
Well, how long does this segment go before that final segment that at least Mitch McConnell hopes that you just explained might happen?
So we have probably until roughly 8 or 9 o'clock tonight. Then we'll have another 8 hours tomorrow, Thursday. And then that question and answer session comes to a close. Then we do get to that point where McConnell needs to make a determination about what's going to happen with this witness vote.
Catherine Gibson is the VOA congressional correspondent, as thankfully has been joining us daily, and she's at the U.S. Capitol. Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome.
Coming up, the crew of an American plane crashed in Afghanistan. We have the latest for you. You're listening to VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia, Pakistan closed the Khyber Pass border crossing with Afghanistan for 10 hours Wednesday after mortar bombs landed in Pakistani territory from across the border, that according to a Pakistani official. The Torkham crossing, through which thousands of vehicles pass every week, is the main trade link between the uneasy neighbors. This is VOA Asia. Back to U.S. politics, the latest polls show Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders surging in the Democratic primary race, both in national surveys and in Iowa, where the first contest of the 2020 campaign kicks off Monday. Sanders is among several top Democratic contenders who is looking for support in the Iowa presidential caucuses, and the outcome is seen as crucial in what could be a long battle for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more from Washington.
The President of the United States.
In the face of impeachment, Donald Trump likes to remind his core supporters about the election stakes in 2020.
We are returning power to you, the American people. With your help, your devotion, and your drive, we are going to keep on working. We are going to keep on fighting. And we are going to keep on winning winning, winning.
Trump supporters like Nancy Fry need little convincing.
I think he's done right by the whole country. He's fighting for all of us every day. I don't know how he can even get anything done, but he does. So good for him and for us.
But in Washington, a more solemn constitutional process could have a big impact on Trump's reelection hopes.
You will do impartial justice according to the Constitution and laws, so help you God.
The Senate now sits in judgment of President Trump in an impeachment trial to hear the case brought by House Democrats, alleging that Trump improperly pressured Ukraine to help him in his reelection bid. Congressman Adam Schiff.
President Trump, by such conduct, has demonstrated that he will remain a threat to the Constitution if allowed to remain in office.
The trial has prompted hallway protests. And the stakes for Trump and the country are huge, says Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
The weight of history, the eyes of history, you feel it, are upon you.
Trump is widely expected to be acquitted by the Senate and remain in office.
A lot of presidents, some good, some not so good. But you got a good one now, even though they're trying to impeach the son of a bitch. Can you believe that?
But how the trial proceeds could affect the president's election chances, says analyst John Fortier.
Well, President Trump's numbers, approval numbers, have never been that good, but they've been in a narrow band. He has strong support from his Republican base, but has a hard time adding to that. So he's a little bit below where you'd expect a president to be if he were to win re-election.
Trump should benefit from a strong economy and his reputation as a tough campaigner, says Jim Kessler.
I wouldn't underestimate him. You know, he's always been an unpopular president. He was an unpopular candidate, but he's a very good counterpuncher.
I love champions.
Trump's impeachment will be a factor for many voters in November, says Hans Noel.
It's going to be about whether or not Trump was exonerated or whether or not the crimes and other misdeeds that are associated with him are actually bad enough that voters should vote him out.
Trump's fate in the Senate will be decided within weeks. A final judgment from U.S. voters will come in November. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
Officials in Afghanistan in eastern Ghazni province are telling VOA American forces have recovered the bodies of two U.S. pilots whose plane crashed in the region on Monday, something U.S. defense officials have also confirmed. VOA's Asif Husseini in Ghazni spoke with the province's police chief and local officials, and he has this report narrated by Benzan Hamdard.
The American Bombardier E-11A went down in eastern Ghazni Monday afternoon local time. Since then, Afghan security forces have tried but failed to reach the crash site, the province's governor tells VOA.
Because that area is pretty remote and it is an insecure area, our security forces and officials have yet to get to the site. But we are working on it so that we can shine some light on what kind of casualties are there.
U.S. troops reached the aircraft Tuesday and recovered two bodies as well as the flight recorder. The U.S. military said they faced no Taliban resistance. Taliban and Iranian media claimed the plane was shot down without providing evidence. U.S. and Afghan authorities say they are still investigating what caused the crash, but say there is no evidence it was downed by enemy fire. The Civil Aviation Authority of Afghanistan said it tracked the flight before it went down, but did not share news of the crash in real time with the public or media.
After confirming all aircraft that exit or enter Afghanistan airspace, we informed that this wasn't a civilian airplane, and any information about a military plane in that situation and in that time, there was never a need to share that.
The U.S. military said the plane was in the area to act as a communication hub for troops on the ground. For Asif Husseini in Ghazni and Jalal Mirzad in Kabul, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Our thanks for joining us, and our thanks to our director, Tracy Carter. Carl Starling was our engineer. Our managing editor is Diane Gao, and our team for VOA Asia is Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Doug Bernard, and me. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a wonderful day.